It is America Weekend, a new kind of radio, because life doesn't stop on the weekends. I am Paul Harris. Thanks so much for listening. A few weeks ago, I was flying home from a weekend away, and I was on a Southwest flight, and as soon as I walked on, I could tell something was different. No, the plane wasn't empty. It never is. They're always full. But it was a new plane. Even had that new plane smell. You could look around and see, oh, this one hasn't been in service that long. It's beautiful. There's an extra exit row because there are two windows over the wings. Hey, this is really nice. And then I sat down in my seat and I realized, oh, it looks nice, but it's all the same stuff. It's exactly the same uncomfortable routine you have to go through when you want to fly through the air to get from one city to another. Now, Louis C.K. would say we're whining about unbelievable technology here, but if you do it enough, it can get very, very old. And that is the subject of my next guest's book. His name is Mark Gerchick, and the book is called Full Upright and Lock Position, Not So Comfortable Truths About Air Travel Today. He has a pretty good perspective on this because he was chief counsel to the Federal Aviation Administration and a senior aviation official at the Department of Transportation and is now an aviation consultant. Mark, welcome to America Weekend.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So planes keep getting bigger and supposedly better, but inside, our experience doesn't really change for the better all that much, does it?
No, it actually doesn't. In fact, if anything, I hate to say it, but it's getting more cramped, more crowded. We're paying more for the small amenities and luxuries that we used to expect to come with the airplane ticket. So no, it isn't really getting better for passengers. On the other hand, it is staying very safe.
Yeah, and we'll get to the safety part in just a second here. But I love that in your book, one of the airlines refers to passengers as self-loading freight. Is that really how they look at us?
Well, that phrase is used by a few snarky employees who probably had bad days. But, you know, look, this is a business now. The airlines for years had been facing bankruptcy. Almost every big airline in the United States went bankrupt over the last decade. And they turned around basically in 2008 when fuel costs shot up and they said, we've got to make some money at this. We've got to cut costs. We've got to get some more revenues. And what they did was just that. And the squeeze is on the traveler, basically.
I mentioned that I flew Southwest recently. In fact, I fly them regularly because I like the experience and I like the fact that the fares are low and it's easy to change your flight if you need to without having to pay a fee. But even Southwest has succumbed to the fee mania. You now have to pay $10 or $12.50 actually now if you want to be on the early bird check-in so that you don't have to do it yourself. But the other airlines have gone even worse with fares, right? I mean, fees have
become a huge component of airline revenues. They made $6 billion last year on just two fees, just on the change fee and the bag fee. And it's making the difference between profit and loss for the industry in many, many cases. So fees are here to stay, and if anything, the airlines are looking at more fees. You're seeing now even fees on a few airlines to put your bag in the overhead bin. And we're going to probably see folks looking at fees, increasing fees on particular busy flights, for example, on business flights. So, you know, fees are definitely a component here, and there's something that we didn't see at all 5 years ago.
Is there, I love the carry-on fee. They're doing that because we decided, well, if I have to pay to check my bag, I'll carry it on. And so that makes boarding take that much longer because everybody now has two full bags they're trying to jam into the overhead compartment here. Is any of this regulated? Not the flying part of it, but the fee part of it.
Well, yes. I mean, the actual amount of fees are not regulated, and the government says, look, we're not going to get in the business of telling what airlines can do in terms of how much they can charge, but they are requiring the airlines to be more disclosive, to put out more disclosure on what the fees are going to be. They're trying to get the airlines to put down what the total cost is going to be when you buy that ticket, including all the taxes, and they have put out some rules on that effect. So, yeah, the government is trying to at least make sure that consumers know a little bit more about what's going to happen to them.
You mentioned the safety of flying in America, and it is remarkable how safe it is. You know, people see the crash of the Southwest flight at LaGuardia the other day that landed on its front gear instead of its rear gear, and of course the one at SFO with the Asiana flight where three people died. But those are incredible rarities, right?
They really are. I mean, if you're, you know, we haven't had a major airline crash in the United States for about 4.5 years, thank goodness. And these three unfortunate deaths in San Francisco were the first major airline situation in many, many, many years. So we're, I think one MIT professor recently had, he said you'd have to fly every single day for 63,000 years in the United States to confront, to be in a fatality. So it's just, it's a remarkably safe system.
Okay, but in that regard, am I taking my life into my own hands every time I inhale on board a plane?
It depends if you're sitting next to somebody who's sneezing. The real issue there is probably as much it is contact with other passengers and you know, proximity. We're all kind of stuffed in there. You think about a kind of an elevator at rush hour, and so whatever anybody's got, they're sharing with everybody else. So, you know, as I say, I'm a big fan of hand sanitizer, for example, and not putting your hand in the back of the seat back in the middle seat where parents can sometimes be putting the baby's diapers and stuff.
But when you're on a flight for 3-4 hours domestically, or you know, you fly internationally, you end up essentially breathing the same air. There's no new air being pumped into the plane, right?
No, there actually is. About half of the air is new air, and about half of it is recirculated on most jets. And so, and that recirculated air does go through these high efficiency filters. So it's the air is actually fairly well ventilated. The real question is how many people are sharing that air, and you know, the fact is, you're, as you say, if you're crammed into any particular spot for that long a period of time, you're going to be breathing stuff that you don't want to be breathing.
All right, Mark, I want you to make me and my listeners jealous. I want you to tell me what life is like at the other end of the flying spectrum. You know, I'm always flying coach. I'm in the economy section. I'm lucky if I can get myself an aisle seat, and I'm happy to have that. What are the people at the other end of that spectrum getting?
Well, at the far end of the spectrum are probably some of these long-haul international flights being operated by some of the really global, top global airlines. You're getting, you know, you're getting on Singapore Airlines, for example, you're seeing these privacy pods. They're almost like little apartments in which you have a 7-foot stretch-out bed in addition to your easy chair, your mahogany desk, and your 7-course meal, and two choices of champagne, because one vintage Dom Perignon isn't enough.
Right. Wow. Now, that's really, really at the top end. But
well, you're paying $10,000 for that flight.
That's what I was going to ask. How much does that cost? $10,000 for one flight. You know, at that point, shouldn't you just have your own jet?
Well, you know what? In fact, that's what people ask, and a lot of them have. There are quite a number of private jets that make sense for folks who are in that category, which is a very few number of folks. In fact, there's one Middle Eastern situation where the Sheikh has taken an A380, which is the super jumbo double decker, and turned it into what Airbus is calling the Flying Palace.
Of course it is. Oh, my goodness. What about the people who are working on board these planes? Is being a flight attendant or a pilot a good job in America now?
Well, you know, the pilots have pilots will tell you they find a lot of satisfaction in their jobs, but the pay has gone down and over the last several years, and it's not the way quite it used to be. And of course, it varies between the major airline pilots, and you know, you can have entry level commuter airline pilots that are coming in as first officers and making $20,000 a year. So there's a huge gap there between the entry level and the most senior pilots who are flying those long haul flights. Flight attendants have also had pay cuts, and of course, the whole industry has lost a lot of employees over the last 4 or 5 years. So it's tough, and you know, full of crowded planes make it even tougher for them. So I try to be nice to them when I can.
Yeah, always. There are two things that I would like to see changed on planes. One, the reclining seats that don't offer anybody any comfort at all, because they only recline a couple of inches and they just cause me pain as a 6'4" guy trying to squeeze in without feeling the pancreas of the person in front of me. And the other one is this ridiculous rule about turning off our electronic devices. Is that going to go away soon, Mark?
Well, I think the electronic device thing is going to be modified. The government, the FAA, and others are looking at that very hard. They know a lot of people object to it. This is particularly on takeoff and landing where you have to turn everything off. And I think that's going to change. There's a report that they're supposed to put out quite soon on that. Well, I mean, we're talking about months here. On the issue of the seat backs, you know, the airlines have tended to decrease the amount of space you have between, you know, as you probably know, legroom space if you're 6'4". And it's gone from sort of 30 44 inches back in the day. There, I guess JetBlue still has that, but mostly it went from that to about 31 inches, which is more or less the average now, 31, 32. And there are a couple of these airlines, like the ultra-low cost, that are down to 28 inches.
Oh!
Yeah, you're not going to like that.
No, not at all. It's a terrific read. The book is called Full Upright and Locked Position, Not So Comfortable Truths About Air Travel Today. Former FAA Chief Counsel Mark Gerchick. Thanks so much for joining me here today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Paul Harris. America Weekend.